From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And we start the week with politics. Last week was one of turmoil in the Democratic Party of Illinois, leading to turnover this weekend in leadership of the party. On Saturday, the State Central Committee voted State Representative Lisa Hernandez to take charge. She had the backing of Governor J.B. Pritzker, and the previous chair, Congresswoman Robin Kelly, withdrew her name from consideration late in the day on Friday. It was the end of a bitter conflict between camps as the party continues to chart a new course after decades with former State House Speaker Michael Madigan at the helm. Meanwhile, the race for governor continues with Pritzker facing Illinois State Senator Darren Bailey in November. You'll recall that just days before the Republican primary, Bailey secured the support of former President Donald Trump. Here's the former president talking about Bailey outside Quincy in late June.
Darren is a farmer and he's a fighter and he has been an outstanding warrior in the Illinois State Senate where he's totally, totally respected by all of them.
At the time, Bailey made no secret of his similarities to and support for President Trump. He even traveled to Mar-a-Lago in Florida in April to make his case. But in the pivot toward the general election, Bailey has been a little bit quieter about the former president. He refused to answer a question last week about Bailey refused to answer a question last week about Bailey's views on the January 6th committee looking into the former president's role in the insurrection at the Capitol building that day. He said instead he's focused on his run for governor rather than aiming for a federal office. Joining us now to talk about all of this is Brendan Moore, who reports on Illinois state government for the Lee Enterprises newspapers in across downstate. Brendan, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Also with us is Tina Svondelis, chief political reporter with the Chicago Sun-Times. Tina, it has been a long time. Good to have you here with us.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Listeners, you can join our conversation today at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21ST Show. So, Tina, what at its heart was this fight over the leadership of the Democratic Party really about?
It's 100% about political power and not really about a little bit about what they say it is about the fundraising issue. But I do believe it is the governor wanting to be in control of this party.
And what are the what were the factions at play here? You mentioned the governor and he backed State Representative Hernandez. Who else was aiming for control of the party here?
Well, Robin Kelly obviously was the DPI chair. She was backed by Senator Durbin. And so we're, you know, a year ago, Governor Pritzker lost his pick for the party, which was Michelle Harris. An alderwoman from Chicago. And so this is his chance a year later to kind of recoup that. So you did have some congressional allies backing Robin Kelly. Obviously, she is a congresswoman. She's very well respected. She's very well liked. And then you had the other side, Governor Pritzker, building this coalition, having his people call committee members, vowing to them that they, you know, could potentially get lots of money from him in future races. And it kind of was enough to seal the deal.
So, Brendan, I want to bring you into the conversation. What happened in the sort of the lead up to this fight over the State Central Committee on Saturday? Well, like sort of behind the scenes, what had been happening?
Yeah, so I guess we'll start with the money. I mean, Governor Pritzker got involved in several State Central Committee races this past cycle. I believe he won about half of them. And obviously, with the race being so close, last time that was probably pretty pretty decisive or important. To install some more allies on the committee.
And let me just interrupt you briefly, because I mean, we're talking like actual billboards and advertising in these races, which are usually, you know, very low key affairs, right?
Yes, I mean this is the most insider of insider races. Really, only people that you know, talk about politics or in politics for a living really pay attention to these races normally. But you know, the governor is cutting checks for, you know, $50,000 at some points to some of these candidates. And as Tina said, I mean, a lot of this people are making about the money and some limitations with Robin Kelly as a federal office holder. But it really is about power and about the governor having control of the state party, which is a fairly normal occurrence in most states where you have a sitting governor. They typically have quite a significant say in who the state party chair is. Obviously, Governor Pritzker behind the scenes, for the past few weeks was, and his allies were really pushing hard to get State Representative Hernandez installed as party chair. They convinced enough folks on the committee, including a pretty key block of Latino members, including Congressman Chuy Garcia, to back Lisa Hernandez over Robin Kelly. And it was enough where Representative Kelly dropped out the day before, knowing that she didn't have the votes to win.
And Tina, all this is going on against the backdrop of Democrats trying to persuade the National Party to have the 2024 presidential convention in Chicago. You reported on a news conference where people from both sides of this state party dispute were there. What was the atmosphere like?
It was extremely awkward. And I was actually pretty proud of Robin Kelly, because you had the governor on one side doing a little gaggle after a press conference, telling reporters everything's fine and we're united. And then you have a couple feet away, you have Robin Kelly telling us this has been really difficult and it is a bad look for the party to be doing this while we're trying to get the convention and while we're trying to become an early primary state. So it was actually pretty impressive, as someone who's covered politics for a couple of years, to see her say that a couple of feet away from the governor who's trying to oust her. So they were on stage. They did have a little bit of distance between them, like one person in between. So it was really interesting to see that dynamic, to see people being honest.
Yeah.
Yes, sorry. It was awkward.
You caught me off guard. We say, oh, it's very interesting with politicians to see them being so honest. What does that say about where
it's
we
true.
Are?
It's true.
Brendan, you had a moment with Congresswoman Kelly. I don't recall if it was at the same event or you were speaking with her separately, where you actually got a statement from Pritzker while you were talking to her. Can you share what that was like?
Yeah. So on Wednesday, I was interviewing Congresswoman Kelly for my political column that runs on Thursday in our print papers. And it was, as I was speaking with her, as I was interviewing her, Governor Pritzker's folks sent out the statement of him officially endorsing Lisa Hernandez, which we had all known that he was backing her, but he made it official. So I was talking to her and I was like, well, Congresswoman, I just got this statement from Governor Pritzker. I'm going to read it back to you and I want to get your reaction. And basically, she said, well, I don't accept their offer. There is no such thing as a federal chair versus a state chair. And then she's like, oh, and by the way, did he say something about respecting me? And I was like, yeah, this is what he said. And she's like, well, I don't feel very respected. Just a kind of a moment where she was being very honest, about how she felt about how this race went and how the governor's governor and his staff, I guess, treated her here. It was definitely a raw, honest moment, and I think maybe a little bit more so than if she had a few minutes to process it. So I guess that's honestly how she felt.
Well, we're getting a little into the weeds here, but I mean, that maybe that's okay. This is, we have time. This is public radio. We do context here. But this idea of this state chair versus federal chair, this is because, and Tina, maybe I can ask you about this. This is because there were limitations on Robin Kelly. Because she was a member of Congress and she has to operate under these federal election laws, she couldn't really raise money for state candidates, right? So that was, some people
exactly.
saw that as a problem. Go ahead.
Yeah, she is subject to some strict fundraising rules and contribution caps, but she did say that, and her allies have said that she was using some legal guidance from the Federal Election Commission that kind of did a workaround, but that did not really convince the Pritzker people. It seemed like that she was being very careful post-Madigan. She was like, I have these lawyers. I want to make sure, not just with fundraising, with other things that were going on. Obviously, they're rebuilding the party from someone who is now indicted. So I think that she was being extremely careful, not just with fundraising, but other things that they were doing. And Pritzker wanted it a different way. So yes, there were some more strict fundraising rules and caps under her, and the governor wanted to go his own way.
Did you see this split chair idea as a realistic proposal? I think the Illinois AFL-CIO is one of the groups that floated this idea, where she would have been something called a federal chair, and then there would have been a separate state chair.
Her side said that that is not even technically possible. That's what I was told, that it's not something that they were allowed to do under certain rules. But I think it just showed that people were very, it was a very high pressure situation behind the scenes last week, where people were being pulled in different directions, and they were, especially with unions, they were, it was just a huge pressure campaign. And I think that was kind of a little happy medium that never became anything.
Brendan, what is the point of all this? Tina said power earlier, but what does that mean actually in terms of like on the ground? What can the governor now do through his ally party chairwoman Hernandez?
Well, Ryan, it gives him a lot more flexibility. It makes it a lot easier to move money around. Obviously, the governor has a lot of money that he can dole out. The state party has a pretty distinct advantage in that there's a significant postage discount, so they can save some money on mailers. And it just kind of gives them another tool to get their message out. It's in some senses kind of similar to when it was under the control of Chairman Madigan. He would basically take contributions from unions and trial lawyers and transfer it to the state party and then dole it out to favored candidates. This time it may, Governor Pritzker and his allies, I guess, will be making those decisions. And even on the, not on the financial side, some Pritzker allies, Pritzker officials had been critical of the state party under Kelly and Chairwoman Kelly for not doing enough in terms of voter integrity and get out the vote initiatives in November. And so this would allow them to basically take control of that process and maybe do some more of those efforts. So it really is a power play by the governor. He's finally has control of the state party. This will be the first time a Democratic governor has pretty much control of a state party in Illinois. I can't even remember when, because obviously Chairman Madigan was in for so long. And so this is kind of puts Illinois back maybe in terms of the norms of state parties nationally, but it is pretty abnormal for this state.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? I think none of us can remember, at least until 2 years ago or a year ago, a time when House Speaker Michael Madigan was not chairman of the Democratic Party of Illinois. Tina, do you see changes continue? Or like, what does this mean for the average voter out there, if anything, to have this change in leadership of the state party?
Well, Robin Kelly, in her speech on Saturday, talked about how she had gone to meetings throughout the state and they had said they had never seen the chair of the Democratic Party in that part of the state. So that is, there's a shift going on there where Madigan, seemed to have made it more Chicago centric, suburban centric. And so I think there will be a push to kind of be more representative of the whole state, even though, as I think we've mentioned, that there's a weighted vote in that chair race, depending on how many votes in the district. So, the high population areas will have more power usually, but it seems to me that there is a push to modernize, to have more of the state being involved with this. Robin Kelly also talked about, outdated things under Madigan. He was a stubborn guy. He did some modernization, but he did not really go forward with the future. And it seems that with Robin and now with Lisa Hernandez, they're going to be pushing forward with some of those modernization efforts.
Brendan, before we move on to talking about Darren Bailey, we need to take a break in about a minute and a half here. But, I've often thought recently, like when we want to do like multifaceted political coverage in Illinois, it's the two sides, right? The traditional both sides are not necessarily Democrats and Republicans, but like which faction of Democrats, because they have such broad majorities, at least in state politics. Do you see continuing conflict here being an ongoing theme? I mean, this was not necessarily progressives versus moderates or what we usually talk about when we're talking about intra-Democratic Party conflict, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Democrats, and I think any of them would tell you that they're not really an organized party as much of a collection of factions.
Well, Pritzker uses that line at events, doesn't he? Who does he quote? I'm not a member of an organized party. I'm a Democrat.
Yeah, I think it's the old Will Rogers quote. And really, I mean, it breaks along, you know, racial lines, class lines, regional lines, education. I mean, you name it. It's a very diverse party. It takes quite a coalition. It is quite a coalition, and it takes quite a coalition to put together if you want to win a race like party chair. And you have to attend to the needs of various interest groups within the party. And so I think that'll remain. But obviously, it's a lot easier to have these, as they've called it, as I heard it described to me a few times last week, family fight. and it's a lot easier to have those when you have super majorities in the legislature, you have the governorship and all the legislative executive offices. A lot of this stuff is kind of semantics until they start losing some elections and then they'll be finger pointing. Until then, I mean, a lot of it's inside baseball.
All right, we're going to come back and continue our Political Monday conversation with Tina Svondelis of the Chicago Sun-Times and Brendan Moore of Lee Enterprises. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about politics on this Monday morning, and we're speaking with Tina Svondelis of the Chicago Sun-Times, chief political reporter there, and Brendan Moore, who covers state government and politics for Lee Enterprises, which has newspapers across downstate Illinois. 800-222-9455. If you have a question or comment, you want to join our conversation, it's 800-222-9455, or tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. So we were talking about the Democratic Party of Illinois before the break. Let's shift now to the Republican side of the aisle, and specifically State Senator Darren Bailey, who's the Republican nominee for governor, and former President Donald Trump. As I mentioned at the top of the show, Bailey was pretty open about his support for the former president during the primary. Here he is speaking at a rally former President Trump held in Mendon, Illinois, back in June.
I've made a promise to President Trump that in 2024, Illinois will roll the red carpet out for him because Illinois will be ready for President Trump.
So, Tina, how did the former president factor into the Republican primary for governor?
Well, as you just played, Darren Bailey talked about Trump very frequently, that he was a supporter, very proud of it, was seeking his endorsement. Reporters were calling his campaign every week to see, is he getting the endorsement, watching other states to see when Trump was endorsing in other states. And so he did get that just before, which is kind of funny because the former president, you know, was losing some of his endorsement. So he seemed to just want to be extra, extra sure that Darren Bailey was going to win, popped in just before the election and got a little bit of credit for it. But now, as you said earlier, you are seeing a bit of a shift. It did help him in the primary. It did help him get these ultra-conservative voters in Illinois. But now he's been a little bit more muted with the Trump factor. He does not talk about January 6th. I think most of us have tried to ask him questions about if, you know, he's watching the January 6th hearings. We try to ask him a little bit about Trump, and he just kind of says, you know, this is not important right now. Or he says he's too busy to be watching these hearings. So that's not exactly the language that he had been using prior to the primary.
So, Brendan, what do you see? This is just pivoting to the general election. Do you think that this helps him be able to sort of win over some voters?
I think that's what he's trying to do. I think he you know, is doing math and realizes that, you know, to win a general election as a Republican in Illinois, you need far more than Republican base voters. And obviously, talking about President Trump in a state that the president lost by significant margins twice is probably not a winning strategy. Whether or not that works it remains to be seen, because obviously, as you just showed a few minutes ago, Senator Bailey spoke about President Trump extensively during the primary, accepted his endorsement wholeheartedly. It was quite different than, say, Aurora Mayor Richard Urban, who just shied away from talking about Trump every time we asked about it. And many thought that was because he was trying to win a general election and try not to turn off moderate voters. But we'll see if Senator Bailey can make the pivot. I think a lot of people would bet that he won't be able to, but crazier things have happened.
And Tina, you and I think we both covered Governor Rauner, and he wouldn't even say the former president's name when pressed. That became kind of a thing.
Repeatedly.
Yeah.
And then he showed up to a Trump rally in the waning days of his failing election, which the president didn't even mention that he was there. So he had a really rough, really rough run with the former president.
Which makes sense, right? Because, I mean, President Trump, as most top-of-the-ticket Republicans have, I mean, it was like a 55-40 margin. I guess I'm just trying to figure out where are you on this? Can Bailey put this behind him? Does he even want to, or does he need to maximize the base? I don't know. What are the factors here?
I don't think that he needs to maximize the base. I think that the base is never going to choose J.B. Pritzker, so he doesn't really have to worry about them. Hmm. And now it is his job to try to get these Collar County people, some Chicagoans. He did win Chicago. There are some Republicans there. So I think that he needs to kind of be a little bit more in the middle on this to try to get those people. And he has been trying to focus on the economy. He has an op-ed in the Chicago Tribune about crime. So he's trying to get these normal people issues that are not political out there.
Okay. And then Brendan, do you see this or how do you maybe see Governor Pritzker trying to weaponize this, in his advertising in the months ahead?
Well, Brian, I think we've already seen it for the past few months. Governor Pritzker spent millions of dollars along with the Democratic Governors Association, basically saying that Darren Bailey was too conservative for Illinois, really highlighting his association with the former president and a lot of his more conservative positions, trying to make him out to be someone who's extreme on all these different issues, whether it's abortion or supporting the former president. So I think we've already seen it and we're going to continue to see it. Obviously, the governor has unlimited resources to get that message out. And he's been doing it and he's probably going to continue doing it.
It's kind of amazing, Tina, right, that those ads that I guess we can't say the governor paid, but the governor's funneled money toward the Democratic Governors Association, which I'm sure totally independently ran ads support, sort of bolstering Darren Bailey as too conservative for Illinois. You could kind of run those same ads in the general, right?
They kind of have. They have been focusing on calling him an extremist. Yeah. We get daily emails calling him that. They continue to try to link him to January 6th, to Trump, to people that were there who might be his supporters. So they're going to continue. That's the Pritzker playbook on it, is to call him an extremist.
All right. Well, we will continue watching this in the days, weeks, and months ahead. Tina Svondelis and Brendan Moore, thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.